Go to the book of Romans chapter 8, please. Romans chapter 8, going to just read one verse, verse 28. Could I thank the Reverend Mercer for the invitation to be here this evening and to renew fellowship with you once again here in Oma. I do have a number of members of your congregation I've known for many, many years. Graham, who was leading the singing there, we go all the way back to school days. So that wasn't yesterday or today, for sure. So I can't remember him singing in those days, but he was certainly singing well, leading the singing tonight. I was also just thinking as walking up there, there's probably only one thing worse than giving your testimony if your father's sitting in front of you in the congregation, and that is him sitting behind you. I'll have to definitely check my watch straight away to make sure my timing, because if I take too long, I'll probably hear about it the whole way home. So I'll make sure I'm brief in my remarks. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Just one verse. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. I came into this world in 1970 over in the land of America. And as many of you know, Mum and Dad were being trainee missionaries at that point. A couple of years in America, a few years in Canada. We're back here for a year in Northern Ireland, and then we went over to Papua New Guinea for 5 years. So as I look back now, and as I get older, I really do thank God for the testimony that Mum and Dad have showed to the family in their life. To think that they, as a 21-year-old and a 20-year-old, left friends, family, careers, and headed off to train as missionaries, and then go to what was a Stone Age tribe in Papua New Guinea to share the gospel. It showed the passion they had for souls. It showed that Christ was real to them, that they were willing to, leave normal society behind because they wanted to share the gospel. And what an example they have been to the family down through the years. So as you can imagine, I was brought up in a Christian home. I went to a Christian boarding school. So I can't remember a time that I didn't know that I needed to be saved. So listening to Bible stories, listening to services. And it was at the age of 6, I believe, I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my own and personal Saviour. I don't have a date, but I do remember getting down by my bed, and I could take it to the room in the house we were staying in. And in simple childlike faith, asking the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my heart, to cleanse me from sin, and to make me right for heaven. Now, that wasn't spectacular. There was no lights flashing. There was no bolts of lightning from heaven. A very simple, ordinary conversion. But a miracle took place. Because when someone comes and puts their faith and trust in Christ, they mightn't have years of sin. They mightn't have years in Bypath Meadow. But they're still saved. And I thank God for that experience. Now, when we did come home to Northern Ireland, probably like a lot of young people, I did find in my early teens that I went into Bypath Meadow. And as a minister's son, when you went to the Sunday service, went to the prayer meeting, children's meetings, youth fellowship, you were dragged out to the mall. And most people in the congregation probably saw me as the minister's son. Butter wouldn't melt in his mouth, and I was a good little boy. But like I knew in my own heart, as I went to school, there was very little difference in me and those unsaved friends. My language was the same. A lot of the things that we did was the same. And I knew in my heart that I was not living as a Christian should live. And I can recall opening the Bible and reading the Bible. And ministers would, whether it was Dad or visiting pastors, would talk about how God speaks through his word. And I used to read the Bible, and it just seemed like a dry book. It was like the Encyclopedia Britannica. For the older generation who don't have iPhones and all now. But that's what it felt like. It was just words. And I had this spiritual struggle that I knew I wasn't living right. Dad got the call to Clocker Valley. And I remember him telling me on the stairs he received the call in the manse in Carrickfergus. And I remember saying to him straight away, take it. And I had in my mind that, well, if I turn over a new leaf and get some new friends and start afresh, well, maybe then everything will be okay. And we moved to the Clocker Valley, and I soon found nothing's any different. There was this spiritual struggle. There was even doubt if I was even saved. And that went on for a number of years to the 22nd of September, 1986, There was a mission in the Clocker Valley. The visiting minister spoke on Lot's wife. And I can remember that night during his preaching, I said, I'm going to have this spiritual matter dealt with. I'm going to go and talk to him. I'm going to tell him how I feel. And I don't want to go on with this spiritual struggle that I was going through. So when I had a chat to him, and he simply turned me to the verse over there in John 6:37. All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. And I just remember the assurance, the confidence that I got through reading that verse, and realized that it was, if you come as a sinner to Christ, that he will not cast you out. And that was a great promise for me. And it's a verse that down through the years I've been able to anchor my life upon. It's a wonderful, wonderful promise. And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, well, there's an assurance in that verse that if you come, if you truly repent, if you want to forsake your sin and look to Christ and his finished work on the cross, the promise is he will not cast you out. He will receive you. That's a wonderful promise. Now, I had two great passions in life. One was football and the other was military. And I played Irish League for about 10 years and have been involved really since about the age of 18 in local football, at coaching, managing, currently at Loch Awe. I'm the youth development manager and also the general manager. So it keeps me pretty busy in my spare time away from family, church and ordinary business. But I've always had a passion for football, just always loved it. And God has certainly blessed us, opened opportunities to witness for him. There's certainly been times when I should have spoke up more or could have done more. But God has been very, very gracious in opening opportunities, particularly around the issue of Sunday sport. And we've been able to speak to those in, if you want to call it, the powers that be in Irish League football, and share with them that there are those who believe the Bible. There's those who believe that Sunday is special, and that those players and coaches and managers who are involved in the local game have a right to be able to practice their religious beliefs and not have them impinged upon by being forced to play on a Sunday. So God has certainly undertaken that. But really the military was probably the passion that I really enjoyed growing up. And I actually joined the Royal Irish Rangers here in Omagh back in 1988. Brother Ivan Buchanan, who I see here tonight, he was there at that time. I got to know him then. I remember him getting saved a few years after I joined, and we certainly had a number of years together of good fellowship around at St. Lucia Barracks. And time doesn't permit me to go into, obviously, the journey within the military. I went on, became an officer, travelled around different parts of the world. 2003 brought the Iraq War. My brother Ian went off to the warfighting phase. I was recovering from a broken leg, wasn't able to go, much to my annoyance. But I did get involved in some media work, and that put us front and centre in some of the newspapers. And in 2003, I got the information and was informed that my name had been discovered and my details discovered in a dissident Republican house in West Belfast, and that we were on a targeted list. So you can imagine that was a difficult time, but God was gracious and undertook for us during that time. The following year, I got the chance to go to Iraq myself, second in command of a company, and off we went. And again, so many memories. You could talk about Iraq, the experience of being there, commanding troops in an operational environment, the various Bible sites that are there. So much of the Bible actually took place in Iraq. It's actually quite amazing. And we were able actually to walk across some of the various Bible sites that you read about in Scripture. But really, the reality that probably struck home most during my time in Iraq was the simple reality of death. And there were so many days whenever over 100 people would have lost their life in different parts of Iraq and in different scenarios of suicide bombers, car bombings, conflict between tribes, etc. And that for me was certainly a strong, abiding memory. And the incident that probably defined me spiritually happened in June of that year. We had some of our soldiers caught in a landmine, a couple of them were injured, and one young fella had shrapnel actually stuck in his neck, and he was in intensive care down in Shaiba Log Base. And as second in command of the company, it was my job to be involved in the welfare of the troops. So I was had a cup of coffee with this guy's friend who was in the vehicle with him, really just to assess his suitability to go back out to operations the next day. And as we're talking, he turned to me and he said, "Sir, you're a Christian. How do you explain that I'm here speaking to you now?" And he named the other person, and he's in intensive care. How do you explain that? And that was a challenge to me. How do you make sense of being a Christian out in Iraq with the British Army and everything that was going on in the war fighting phase, the death, the destruction all around? Where's God in all of that? And as a Christian, that's something that you should be conscious of as you go through life's journey and different things happen in life. And I remember just at first wondering how to even answer that. And I believe it was the Holy Spirit just brought this verse that we've read to my mind, Romans 8:28. I had learnt it as a pupil in Kilskerry Independent Christian School, where we attended for a few years. And I simply turned to him and I said, "Look, I believe the Bible teaches that all things work together for good to them who love God. And I don't know what's going to happen to me out here or what's going to happen to you for the next 5 months, but I believe God has a purpose and God has a plan. And I'm happy to leave that with him, whatever happens." And that became my verse, and a verse I've loved down through the years, because it's a verse of comfort. It's a verse of strength. It's a verse of encouragement. But above all, it's a verse of explanation. Explanation. Making sense of what's happening on life's journey. And what an assurance Paul has. And, you know, in terms of giving a testimony, it's not just about when you're converted. It's through life's journey. In different circumstances of life, the ups, the downs, the challenges. It's a verse like this that you can hold on to and have assurance and confidence. And as a family, I can certainly testify that we have known God's goodness and been able to look at a verse like this. During COVID, my wife lost her mother. We buried her during COVID. And for anyone who experienced that, that's a very difficult circumstances for a family. As many of you know, my own mother battled cancer 2 years ago. And it was amazing as a family just watching Mum and Dad deal with that situation. It wasn't Dad counselling a member of the congregation. It's within the family. But you could see their reliance on God and their assurance that all things work together for good. So as I come to a conclusion here, the message of the gospel, the message of this passage is, as a Christian, you can face all of life's challenges, all of life's uncertainties, all of life's disappointments, its temptations, its fears, even its dangers. If your job takes you into danger, you can face all of those if you're in Christ. And that's the wonderful message of the gospel. And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, well, what are you putting your faith and trust in? When those things happen in life that take you into difficulty, take you into challenges, well, what are you putting your faith in? And particularly when you come to face death, what is it that you're going to hold on to? Thank God the Christian has the Bible and has their Christian hope. And, you know, I've often wondered, why could Paul be so confident? Why could Paul be so confident in this Christian hope that he had? Well, verse 32 of that passage, it's very, very clear that God spared not his own son. Points to the cross. And really, what an amazing verse. And that's the gospel. That the good news is that God did not spare his son from the cross. That Christ went to the cross, he took our place, he took our sin, he gave us his righteousness, and now we are declared righteous. What good news. I thank God for his hand on my life through life's journey thus far. I've certainly failed him many, many times, but I thank God I can stand here tonight and testify that all things work together for good to them that love.